The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can live stream us at kcnr1460.com/live, or you can go to the archives and look at any prior shows, or you can go to my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell, and listen to all sorts of really good stuff that's going to help you heal. So today we're going to be talking about being unhappy. It's interesting because, you know, I've been in private practice for over 30 years, and often I see people that come in with just kind of a vague complaint of, I'm unhappy. Now, let's look at it from a spectrum of all the way from just mildly unhappy to severely depressed. How do you know when you're just unhappy and when you're really depressed? It's kind of a difficult question, and it's what people come in to talk to me about sometimes. They'll say that they're unhappy, and I'm looking for the signs of depression. Of course, I'm always kind of assessing whether someone's suicidal or not. But I'm talking today, the show's more about that kind of unhappiness, that pervasive discontent. I'm not really happy with my life. And we're going to throw in some information on how to know if you're depressed or not and how to get help. But let's look at that vague kind of unhappiness. I think it's really important to be able to say out loud, I'm not particularly happy. It is a huge call to consciousness when you can really step into figuring out that you're unhappy, how you're unhappy, and what you can do about it. It is a huge call of awareness. It is also the first step in creating change for your life. When you like to pretend that everything's hunky-dory and you don't want to think about it, and you don't want to deal with it, you don't want to notice, it's impossible to make changes that are productive in your life. So, you know, we've got to stop and look at, are we unhappy? And then it's really important to look at those around us that we love and care for and say, is that person unhappy? For example, I see couples come into my office a lot where one person's unhappy and the other person is oblivious. And I see a lot of other different combinations. But with unhappiness, it often occurs that one partner's sitting there saying, I'm just really unhappy, things aren't going well, and the other one's like, what? I thought we were fine. I can tell you how often I hear that. And I have a good poker face, so I say, tell me more about that. So, and you know, women are out there thinking, yeah, it's the men all the time, and men are going, yeah, it's the women all the time. But I see it both ways. So the oblivious person isn't necessarily male or female. It's either one. So let's look at an example of that. I had a guy come into the office, and he basically got dragged in by his family because he was really depressed, and he was spiraling down, and he wasn't caring about things, and his business was kind of going downhill, and he was drinking too much, and he was just trying not to feel anything. And so when he came into the office, he came because his family said, you're really depressed and you need some help. So we started talking about why he was depressed. And what it turned out was that he was really unhappy. He wasn't necessarily depressed. So let's talk about the difference between unhappy and a certain kind of depression that I call reactive depression, and then the type of depression that's more biochemical. So if you stick your two hands out in front of you and you say, in my left hand is reactive depression, that is being unhappy or depressed or upset about something that is occurring or something that has happened to you. Like maybe you've been betrayed, or maybe you have relationship difficulties, or you have a special needs child, but you have a reactive depression going about dealing with a struggle in your life. Then in your other hand, your right hand, put in there biochemical depression. that's your body not making enough serotonin or dopamine, not doing what your brain needs to do to make one cell talk to the next cell that lets you function and not spiral down into a biochemical cesspool of not functioning well. So now, can a reactive depression, something you are upset about, ever become a biochemical depression? Yes. You let unhappiness go on long enough and deeply enough, and it can literally become depression. It can be a reactive depression at first because you are reacting to something in your life. But that goes on long enough, and it can become a biochemical depression, where what you really need is antidepressants to help replace that serotonin uptake in your brain so that you can learn how, so your brain can help you become not depressed so that then you can learn behaviors to get you out of your unhappiness. Okay, so you're following this. Unhappiness is a little different than depression, but it can be related to depression, and it can be the precursor to a lot of depression happening. So let's go back to our example of the guy who came in because his family made him come because he was depressed. When he started talking about why he was shutting down, going silent, drinking too much, pulling away from everybody, entering into that space of not caring, I started asking him, when did this start? Have you always been like this? And he said, no, I'm generally a very happy person, pretty upbeat. I've always cared deeply about things and other people. And so when I was asking, well, when did this really start? He really got in touch with about 10 years earlier. He started to get upset and unhappy in his marriage. And we talked about why. And so it was a factor of transition, meaning his kids were growing up and moving out of the house. His wife was going into menopause and things were changing in their sex life. He was pulling away from those close to him because everything just seemed to hurt too much. He also had lost a couple of really good friends to death, and he didn't know. He kind of shoved that under. He did the guy thing of, you're not supposed to walk around crying because a couple of your really good friends died. You can be sad for a little bit. You can say you're sad, but you don't get to walk around with your boo-boo lips sticking out. So he had these behaviors that were shove it under, go silent, pretend like you don't feel it, don't talk about it, have a couple vodkas to make it go away. And he was deeply unhappy. So what was interesting is it became a huge wake-up call to him that he was unhappy. So we started talking about how this occurred and why he didn't want to allow himself to recognize it. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how do you figure out if you are unhappy or not. So we're going to go to break and be back in just a minute.
CNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding roots, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and today we are talking about being unhappy. So I want to teach you a really cool thing that will help you figure out if you are unhappy. This is something that I stumbled onto, I think I was about 20 years old, and I remember I was driving to a college class, and I even remember where I was in the street down in Los Angeles, and I said to myself, are you happy? And it was this passing thought, but I answered myself. And I don't think I'd ever done that before. I said, are you happy? And I went, well, I don't know. So I said to self, are you happy? And I answered myself, I don't know. But I had to really stop and look at that. And I remember the whole rest of the way to my college class, and in LA the traffic was very slow sometimes, I was thinking, what are the things I'm happy about, and is there anything I'm really unhappy about? And I really answered myself on an in-depth level. I remember getting to the college and sitting in the parking lot and thinking, wow, what do I do with that now? And I was kind of blown out. So now, as I've gotten older, I recognize those really important moments as God messages, as, you know, you're getting flicked in the side of the head and somebody says, wake up and listen to what's going on. So now I really listen. But back then when I was just a 20-year-old kid, I went, oh, gosh, am I happy? And now what do I do? So I started calling that a happiness check. And for the rest of my life, I have every once in a while stopped and said, are you happy? And the real secret about that is answer yourself. Are you happy? And why are you happy? And are you unhappy? And where are you unhappy? I'm going to give you a way to really figure out where you might be happy and where you may not be happy. So what I want you to do is draw a big circle. And up at the top of the circle, write spirit. Way down at the bottom of the circle, write family and friends. And then around the inside edge of the circle, you're going to write career or job, physical health, mental health, leisure, relationship, and future. Okay? So those are the areas that we're going to stop and say, are you happy? So let's look at the top. Look at your spiritual beliefs, your religious beliefs. Put it in any kind of context of how you believe the universe works. You might be atheist or agnostic. I'm not telling anybody how to believe. I'm just saying stop and say, what are your beliefs on how you fit into this world and how the world spins around? So that's one section, how you believe spiritually. Now let's go to the next section. Move it around the circle to the right. Let's look at your career or your job. Are you happy? Are you unhappy? Do you like the people you work with? Do you like the money you make? What do you wish it could be? If you could create the exact career or job that you really wanted that would make you smile and want to get up and go to work, what would that be? Are you in that? If you're not, why not? What would it take to be in that? So you're going to really explore your career and your job, where you bring in money in order to live. The next thing, let's look at your physical health. Are you happy with your physical health? Are you strong? Are you vibrant? Do you feel healthy? Do you have chronic pain? Do you suffer with autoimmune disorders? Do you hate your body? Let's look at your physical health. Are you happy? The next one, let's look at your mental health. Do you feel that you function well mentally? Is your mood stable? Do you are you grumpy and irritable? Do you bite people's heads off? Are you depressed? How is your mental health? If every once in a while you have this fleeting thought, I am crazy, you might want to listen to yourself. Because it's, people come in my office all the time and they go, I'm here because I think I'm crazy. I go, oh, tell me about that. Why are you crazy? What do you do that's crazy? And they usually have a couple of really good examples. So, and I often tell them, no, everybody does that. So crazy is not, it's mostly a fear that a lot of people have. But we're looking at your mental health. How stable are you? Okay, now let's go down to the next one. Your family and friends. Do you have family and friends? I see people come in, they come in to see me for therapy and they have no family. They have no friends. They are very lonely, very isolated. And we have to look at how did that happen? Have you created that for yourself? Why did you do it? Are there trust issues or is it just a victim of circumstance or what's going on? So you can look at your family and friends. Are you happy? Then go to leisure. What do you do for fun? A lot of people have no answer to that question because they don't know how to have fun. They can't remember the last time they had fun. They don't know what fun is. So what do you do for fun? Do you have any hobbies? Do you have any cool things that you do that just bring you joy? My definition of a stress release is something that you do that you can't think about anything else while you're doing it. That is a stress release. I coached three clogging teams for 28 years with my husband who passed away, Rich. And when you are clogging, we used to dance on our adult team and then we had two junior teams. When you are clogging, you can't think of anything else. You're thinking about dancing, you're thinking about the music, and it is a total stress release. So what do you do that takes your mind off of everything else? That's your leisure. So if you have nothing, then that's an area that needs to be worked on. So the next section is relationship. Who are you in relationship with? Are you married to your job? And how's that working for you? Do you have a significant other? Did you used to and they betrayed you? If so, listen to the show on betrayal. But what's happening with your relationship? Do you have one? Do you want one? Do you like the one you're in? Do you wish you weren't in it? How do you get out? What do you do? So take a look at your relationship. Are you happy? Then the last section is let's look at your future. Are you preparing for retirement? Do you have plans? Are you going to coffee with a friend next week? Do you have vacation plans? Is there something you'd like to do or is there something you're saving for? What's your future look like? Is there anything exciting in your future or is it all black clouds and thunder and lightning? So when you do a happiness check, you should be traveling around this circle and saying, where am I happy and where am I unhappy? And then when you answer yourself, and you can even write some notes about it, then what do you do? And I'm going to give you some things to do when we come back in the third section of the show. But right now, what I really want you to do is stop to say, am I happy or not? So let's go back to our example of the guy who came in because his family was worried about him being depressed. And he really got in touch with the fact that he had been unhappy for about 10 years. And it was slow and insidious. There's a fable about the frog in the boiling water. And the idea is that if a frog is in a pot of boiling water, or a pot of water, and the heat slowly gets turned up, and the frog just slowly acclimates to the water getting hotter and hotter and hotter, then the frog will stay in the pot and die because the water starts to boil. But if you throw a frog into a pot of boiling water, the frog will jump out. So if we look back at our example, the guy who came in for therapy because he was unhappy in his relationship, it was like the frog in the water. The unhappiness, the insidious, just general unhappiness started out slowly and got hotter and hotter and hotter. And he didn't really stop to realize that he was beginning to die. So unhappiness doesn't always happen like getting hit upside the head with a 2x4. It can happen in a slow, insidious way that you don't even realize it's sneaking up on you. And that's what he began to recognize as he was doing therapy. What am I unhappy about and when did it start? And, oh, I didn't even really notice that. But when it goes on long enough and it chips away at you, your unhappiness becomes more and more and more until it gets to a point where you're the frog in the boiling water and you feel like you're going to die. Then you can be biochemically depressed, might need antidepressants. You are probably doing things in an unhealthy manner to cope with your disappointment and unhappiness, like drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, shopping, gambling, all the things that people do to shove stuff under, workaholic stuff. And those are all things that people do so that they do not feel. So what we're talking about here is, how do I know if I'm happy or not? How do I do a happiness check? And then what do I do when I figure out I'm unhappy with something? So as you're doing this happiness check, really write down each section. And those sections, again, are your spiritual belief system, your how you fit into this world, your career, your job, your physical health, your mental health, your family and friends, what you do for fun, your leisure activities, your relationship, and your future, like planning for retirement or saving for a house. Those are future type of things. So write down, what are you unhappy about? And you don't have to have an answer for it, just things that are good and places that are not. So we're going to take a break in just a minute. And what I want you to do is be listening to yourself. Where am I unhappy? What does that unhappiness look like? And I want you to just tune into the music we're going to play. And I want you to pick an area where you know you are unhappy, but you haven't really wanted to look. Okay, so tune into this music, and when we come back from break, I'm going to teach you what to do with that.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
Reading, guess what? Our dining room at Black Bear Diner is open again, and we're bringing chili back. That's right. Come dine in comfort inside of our Hilltop Drive location. And special for March, ask for a bowl or cup of our delicious homemade chili, or try one of our new chili creations, a chili stuffed breakfast burrito, a chili cheddar cheeseburger, or for dinner, our tri-tip chili platter. Come dine inside or order for takeout at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You are listening to the beautiful song Sunrise Over Standing Indian, which is from Smoky Mountain Dreams, Randy McGinnis's CD that he did with classical cellists. And she's, Stacy is with the Prague Symphony, not Prague Symphony, she's the one that's with the Knoxville Symphony. And it's just a beautiful CD of classical cello music and Native American flute. And this is a track where Randy's playing by himself, and it's just gorgeous. So tune in to Smoky Mountain Dreams on his website, randymcginnis.com. Okay, today we are talking about unhappiness. This call to consciousness is what I think of an unhappiness check as. In the last section, I talked to you about how to do a happiness check, and I wanted you to go to break trying to figure out if there's an area where you have been unhappy. And in order to really begin to change an area that is creating unhappiness in your life, you have to focus some attention on it. And what I see most often in my office is people will come in and they just don't want to think about how they're unhappy. It makes them feel like a whiner or a complainer, or they have tried many times to get someone to listen to them and it's just not happening. So somewhere along the line, they've learned to shove it under. Now, sometimes this starts at a very young age. You can be told, as a young child, boys don't cry, or don't be a weakling, or don't be a crybaby, or you can be told, stop thinking about yourself, you're being selfish. And so we learn through experience to shove under our feelings and not to do anything about them. And then we feel guilt and shame when we acknowledge to ourselves that we're unhappy. So that leads to all kinds of problems like substance abuse or coping with things that are unhealthy. And I have a very clear list of unhealthy coping skills. Drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, shopping, gambling, promiscuous behavior, workaholic. Those are all things that sometimes people bury their unhappiness in so they don't have to take a good look at it. So take the subject that you came up with, that you found an area of unhappiness in your life. And every once in a while I meet somebody that has zero unhappiness in their life, but I'd kind of like to frame that person and put them out on a billboard out on the highway because they're very unusual. Usually somebody has an area in their life, or more areas, that need improvement. So if you're thinking, God, I'm unhappy in all those areas, that's okay. You're not the only one in this world that feels like that. But right now, you're going to pick one area. And remember, those areas were your spiritual belief system, your career, your job, your physical health, your mental health, your family and friends, your leisure, your relationship, and future preparation. Where are you unhappy? So the idea is first to ask the question, and secondly, to honestly answer yourself. Where am I unhappy in one of those categories, and why am I unhappy? So what if it's kind of a vague thing, like I'm unhappy in my relationship because the person is just kind of a disappointment. They're okay. The person isn't really bad. The person just isn't very focused on me anymore. They don't really care. Or our sex life has gone downhill. Or it's not been the same since the kids left because I had a purpose and a drive and they kept life full and happy. And now I feel empty. That's where the term emptiness comes from. So really answer yourself as to why you feel unhappy in that area, even if it's kind of vague. So let's look at a couple of things you can do when you've figured out there's an area of unhappiness. You have to remember that in order to change something, it has to stand in the way of something you want more. So let's say that you're unhappy with your physical health. So I've dealt a lot over the years with eating disorders, and I see a lot of people with body dysmorphia. Body dysmorphia is where your vision of how you look is way worse than your body actually looks, and you are hyper-focused on something or many things in your body, like your thighs touching, or you feel like you have a double chin, or you feel, you know, that everybody notices that you have this body problem or that body problem. And in reality, most people don't notice a whole lot of that on other people, but they certainly notice it on themselves. So let's say one of the things you're unhappy with is your body. So in order to change that, to make it something that you're happy with, you've got to understand exactly what you're unhappy about. Are you unhappy with something that can't be changed, like how tall you are? Or are you unhappy with something that would take a lot of money to change? Like, let's say you can't stand your nose, or you need a breast augmentation, or something like that, and it's a lot of money, and that's not something you're going to have. What is the alternative if you can't force change on your body? The idea is to learn how to accept it, or to change the things that you can change. So let's go with the classic one that almost everybody that comes into my office complains about. No, not everybody. A lot of people. A lot of people are very unhappy with their weight. So if you are, you've most likely gone on diets or tried to stop eating this or tried to stop eating that or tried to create change in your weight or wishfully thinking that you could weigh what you did when you were 20. You know, I've often said, okay, God, let me weigh 115 again. I promise I'll appreciate it this time. Because I didn't when I was skinnier. So, you know, that you just have to be aware of that. So what is in the way of what you want more? If what you really want is to lose weight and feel more fit, then what habits are in the way of that happening? This is how you back into it. You've decided you're unhappy with your weight, and now you're going to say, what are the habits that I have that create my discomfort and my unhappiness? So one of the ways that you can affect change in an area that you're unhappy is to do a 21-day challenge. Research has shown that it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. So let's say for 21 days, there's something that you want to not do, and there's something you want to start doing. Sometimes it's easier to do a behavior than to not do a behavior. But let me give you an example of two things that somebody might do who wants to create change in their body. Something they might not do anymore is eat ice cream every night. So let's say ice cream is your weakness, and you say for 21 days, not going to have ice cream. I'm going to not bring it home. I'm going to get rid of anything that's in the freezer, and I'm not going to have ice cream for 21 days. So that means that when you get your sweet craving after dinner and you go get a big old honking bowl of ice cream, you're going to have to substitute something else. So let's say something you will do is eat something healthy at that time. And you're going to figure out, instead of having a big bowl of ice cream, I'm going to have some hummus and vegetables, or I'm going to pick something else that's good for you. I'm going to have a piece of fruit, or I'm going to have some air pop popcorn and not put a whole bunch of bad stuff on it. You're going to not do a behavior, and you're going to do a behavior. What I like people to do is to get a little pad of stickies and write 21 on the top page and then go 20, 19, 18. So you have 21 little stickies, and you hang it on your refrigerator. And when you make it through day one, you take off 21. Down to 20. And these are the number of days left you have in your 21-day challenge. So remember, you're going to not do something, and you're going to do something. So let's say that you were not going to eat bread for 21 days because you're a real carb-aholic and you love all your bread. So you're going to not eat bread for 21 days, and for 21 days you're going to get up and walk in the morning. You are trying to affect the breaking of something unhealthy and the establishment of something healthy. That's a 21-day challenge, okay? The other thing is, when you've gone around that circle on the happiness check, trying to figure out what you're happy about and what you're not happy about, and you've made your list and you've picked an area, I'm going to focus on this area where I'm unhappy. What is your truth about that? And how are you going to stand in your truth with someone else? Let's go back to our example of the guy who came in for a relationship, or he came in because he was depressed, and he figured out he was really unhappy in his relationship. How do you go from being silent, pretending it's not happening, giving up trying to talk about it, to standing in your truth in a productive way with the person that is part of your unhappiness? So part of his therapy was, we had to talk about what you're unhappy about, why, and how would you communicate that to your spouse? he practiced. We worked on communication skills. We worked on him standing in his truth. We worked on any guilt and shame that he felt, that he wasn't going to feel like this anymore, that he wasn't going to do this. And then we called her in so he could stand in his truth and talk about it. Now, remember, standing in your truth is not about all this blame and it's all your fault. It's more about, I have recognized I'm unhappy and I need some help figuring this out. So it was the beginning of creating that change in his relationship to create happiness in his life. It was really cool. And the outcome of it was just awesome for them to begin to change things and rekindle what they'd had for many years and revamp some things that they hadn't done for a long time. Not just with things like their sex life, but also with kids having left the house and how to create more connection and just some real fun between the two of them. They had really lost how to have fun. And since they didn't have fun with the kids anymore, they didn't know what to do. All right, so we're going to take a break in just a minute. And when we come back, I want to sum up about unhappiness. We're going to go over a little bit about how to recognize if you're depressed. I want to spend just a minute or two on if you have suicidal feelings, what you can do. Because sometimes when happiness goes unchecked, it can become depression. It can become suicidal ideation. And I want to make sure that we cover anybody that's struggling with that. So we're going to go to break, and we're going to come back and continue talking about unhappiness.
Complex and play an important role in health and well-being. Having knowledge about the brain will help keep you and your loved ones healthy and enjoying a quality life. You can learn brain health and dementia prevention strategies during the Healthy Brain Symposium, a free live event with resource exhibits, or attend via Zoom webinar April 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's your chance to get informed about brain health and aging well from leading medical professionals and healthcare experts, including David Johnson, Associate Professor in Neurology, UC Davis Alzheimer's, Dr. Ruth O'Hara, Senior Associate Dean of Research, Stanford University of Medicine, Donna Ross, Licensed Physical Therapy Medical Home Professional, and Dr. Eric Egli, PhD, plus a panel of experts question and answer session. It's all at the Healthy Brain Symposium, April 28th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Reading or online. Pre-registration, go to shiningcare.org or call 232-5543.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and we are talking about unhappiness today. You're listening to the song When Dreams Come Together, which is just a great song to listen to for this show. It is Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist, along with Stacy Nickel Miller, who is a classical cellist with the Knoxville Symphony. Randy played on stage with Stacy, and it was just divine. He has another CD that is with Lucy Carlson of the Prague Symphony. She's a classical violinist, and that's a gorgeous CD as well. So you can go to his website, randymcginnis.com, and look up his music. Or Spotify, Pandora, all those too. Also, I don't want to forget to tell you that you can listen to my podcast, which is Dr. Patricia Bay Therapy in a Nutshell, on Anchor app, Anchor like a boat anchor, ANCHOR.FM. You can pull that up on your computer or you can download it to your phone. The podcasts are free. And I do that to help people that can't get into therapy or can't afford therapy, and they need help. And I'm just stoked that I have over 3,000 listeners now, and people are writing to me saying how much a podcast helped them, and that's exactly why I do it. It's to help heal the world, and we all need help sometimes. So go to the podcast, share it with other people, and help them heal, because we all need some help. Okay, so we're talking about unhappiness, and I want to take a minute to have you really take a look at the difference between unhappiness and depression. We talked in the very first segment of the show about what is a reactive depression and what is a biochemical type depression. But how do you know when you are depressed, when you're not just unhappy? So let's look at it as a spectrum, as a continuance. When we are unhappy, we can kind of have the blahs or the blues. We can feel sad and disappointed about things, but we still function really well. And even in mild depression, people function. They get up, they go to work, they shower, they shave, they take care of their hygiene, they pick the kids up from school, and they function. So unhappiness, you keep going on, but you might be disappointed or needing to fix things in your life. Mild depression can be a little more than that. You might begin to have trouble with food. Sometimes people lose weight. More often than not, they gain weight because they're trying to comfort themselves with food, with eating, or with alcohol, or things like that that can really add calories and add nod substance to your diet, which can cause weight gain. So that unhappiness, mild depression can have... You can stop eating or you can be eating too much. Once you get into depression, from mild depression on up to more severe depression, there's usually trouble sleeping. And trouble sleeping is interesting because you might fall asleep really readily, but you can't stay asleep. So you'll wake up at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning and you might as well get up because you can't shut your head off and you can't go back to sleep. So there's trouble falling asleep or there's trouble staying asleep. And then there's a thing called early morning wakening. Sometimes people who are depressed can make themselves go to sleep, but they wake up really early in the morning, 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and they can't get back to sleep, and they're still very tired. So this is not that they've had enough rest. It's that they can't stay asleep. So problems with sleep, either insomnia or falling asleep, staying asleep, waking up too early, are all signs of depression, especially when it's different than how you've been your whole life. Unless you've been depressed your whole life, which is possible too. But if you have started to become so unhappy that you're wondering if you're depressed, and when do you know that you're depressed, looking at how you eat and looking at how you sleep are two really important things. The other thing is, as someone gets more and more depressed, they really fall into an I don't care sort of place. They have trouble mustering up caring or trying to create change in something. Someone tells them something and it really falls flat, like, I don't care. They tend to have trouble socializing or being around other people, and it can be very hard on them to function in a group or in society. So you have to look at depression as a spectrum. Way on the left side of the line, we can say unhappiness. And way on the far right side of the line, as depression worsens and worsens and worsens, it can become extremely non-functioning behavior. So way up on the right side of that line, that spectrum, is where people want to pull the covers over their head. They don't want to get up. They're not functioning real well. Their hygiene's kind of gone sideways, and they're not taking care of themselves anymore. They don't care if they drink too much. They don't care. They're having trouble mustering up caring. In that very severe state of depression, you can begin to enter into suicidal feelings and ideation. People come into my office and they say, I'm not suicidal, but I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. I can't do this anymore. And actually, that's a really good hint, because I have found that the best way to keep someone from killing themselves is not to remind them people love you, people count on you, what would your kids do? Because most people that are severely suicidal have already wrapped their heads around, they'd be better off without me. I'm not thinking about that. They're thinking about the it or the this or the that they cannot do anymore, they can't handle anymore. So you want to ask, what is it that you can't handle anymore? Or what is this that is kicking your butt so bad you can't go on? Talk to me about it. Explain it to me so I understand. That's a really good suicidal intervention. Then what you can say is, I can help you with that, or I have no idea how to help you with that, but I'll help you get into somebody who can help you figure the this or the that or the it that you can't handle. So suicidal ideation often starts with that vague kind of feeling, I can't do this anymore. Then kind of the next step is where I see people say stuff like, I was driving down the freeway and I thought, what if I rammed into that bridge or that tree? And they have these fleeting kind of suicidal thoughts that usually scares them to death. Well, and you know what I mean, it scares them. The things like, what if I threw open this door and jumped out of the car? What if I took this whole bottle of pills? And so they'll have a fleeting thought of how they would kill themselves, and it scares them, and they back off because they truly don't want to die, and they're able to say they don't want to die, but they're really unhappy, and they don't know how to bring that unhappiness to consciousness and deal with the unhappiness. So suicidal ideation often starts like that, where it's vague, and it's thinking of little suicidal things. But if someone asked you if you're suicidal, you'd say no. Now, progress that on into actual suicide attempts. Many people make very vague suicidal gestures where they kind of know it's not going to work, but they, for example, it doesn't surprise me when somebody says, I drank too much and then I took two Xanax and I thought if it kills me, I don't care. That is suicidal ideation and a kind of a vague suicide attempt. They weren't actually trying to kill themselves, but they were doing suicidal type behavior. So now go further on the spectrum of suicide where attempts are made that they're truly trying to end their life. At what point in all this depression or suicidal ideation should you get some help? Way back in the beginning. Like right now, if what you're doing is saying, you know, my life is basically good and I'm okay, but I got a couple areas where I'm unhappy. You've done the happiness check we talked about in the second section of the show. I can fix those. I can work on those. I might need to get some help to do some things differently, but I'm not at risk for suicide. I'm not at risk for going into a depression that really needs antidepressants, and I'm in a biochemical depression now. How do you get help? Well, there's some important ways. You can listen to podcasts for free, but that sometimes isn't enough either. You can go to your family doctor or your gynecologist or whatever doctor you have and say, can you give me a referral of somebody good? You can go to your minister or a friend and say, I'm looking for a good therapist, and you can get some referrals. If you live here in Northern California, you can email me. You can go to my website, patriciabay.com, and click on Email Dr. Patty. And you can say, I'm looking for a referral here in Northern California, and I'll be happy to give you some names and numbers of people that take insurance, that take Medi-Cal partnership, of people that can help you. There's also some nonprofits here in town that will do sliding scale and give you some help. You don't have to know what you're going to say the first time you go in. You can go in and say, I'm just depressed, and I don't know how to figure this out. That's a really, really good starting place. So it's okay to recognize you're unhappy. It's okay to recognize if more than unhappiness is happening to you. And the really important thing to recognize is there's help. You can pull out of any unhappiness. You can pull out of severe suicidal ideation. You can pull out of depression. Sometimes it takes a tour guide to help you out of the pit. You can also read my book, Therapy in a Nutshell. You can go to my website and click on it. It's in Audible with me reading the book. And if you've been listening to my podcast, you're anchored to my voice, so you can listen to the book. It is in print. You can order it on Amazon. A really fast way to get it is just to email me, and you can send me the money on PayPal, and I'll stick it in the mail to you today. You know, I'll mail it to you right away, even if you live far away. So get help. Learn how to get from unhappiness to happiness. Learn how to answer yourself. You don't have to be silent in your unhappiness. First off, you don't have to be silent with yourself, and then you don't have to be silent with those around you. There is no shame. There is no guilt in being unhappy. There is only unconsciousness. We want to bring unhappiness to consciousness. If your unhappiness is as bad as depression or suicidal ideation, you've already passed the point where you should have gotten help a long time ago. So get it now. Get into some help. Even just Google therapists in your city and names will come up. Give it a shot. Try one. Go 3 times. See if you like it. If you go and you don't like the therapist, then you say, let me get back to you if I want to schedule more. You don't have to schedule something else. And then try again with someone else. There is help out there and you can get happy. The thing that's most important is you have to remember that you matter. And I know some of you are shaking your heads thinking, I don't really matter. I don't know if I love myself. You matter. And you get to matter. So it's time to get happy. A call to consciousness. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. So let's go forward and just heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Go not to the elves for counsel, for they will say both no and yes. J.R.R. Tolkien.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Our monster of the day. These can really be true monsters. It's the Fae. Those tricky buggers.
We're talking not only fairies, but elves, pixies, sometimes gnomes are considered fae. There are a lot of creatures that are vaguely humanoid with a little bit of a magical twist and often have a very druidic nature in their style of magic. So we are calling them as a super category fae.
With the fae usually comes an almost human appearance. They have the same general shape. They're a humanoid. But there's something different. There's something magical, mystical about them.
A lot of times they're the people who wield the plant-type magic. So if
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.